Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. This morning for our exhortation, I want to draw our attention to the emblems that we have on the table set before us here. The broken bread and the poured out wine that gives us Gentiles the opportunity of a life to come. I'd like to start by looking at the body of the Lord, and then we'll look at the blood and the symbology that we have between that and the bread and the wine. So to start with, turn over to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verse 26 to 30. Matthew chapter 26, and at verse 26, it says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." This is what we come to focus on, our attention to focus week by week as we examine the different parts of our walk Zionwards with the exhortations. Here in Matthew, we're told to partake of Jesus' broken body, symbolized in the broken bread that we have on the table before us. But what is it about the body of Jesus that we are to partake of? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and at verse 12 all the way to the end. We know what this is about. I won't read it for you, but the section speaks about our ecclesia and how we are all joined together as one, and we need the whole body to function as one. But I want to draw your attention to one particular verse at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." So this verse very plainly says that we are part of that body of Christ. So not only do we partake of it, but we are part of it. When Christ was preparing for those final hours before he was crucified, his whole body had to be working together, not parts of it wanting to do their own thing. He needed to be strengthened completely. So then the lesson for us, we need to all be working together as an ecclesia in these final hours and not turning to our own individual ways. Back a few pages, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20 says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Let each man remain in that..." Sorry, that I'm reading chapter 7. Chapter 6, verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? May you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." We have been bought with the price of Christ, and our bodies are no longer our own, but part of that greater body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." After the waters of baptism, we are born again into that new creation. Romans 6 is an amazing chapter speaking of this. I'll just read a couple of verses from it. Romans chapter 6. And I'll read verse 3 and 4 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. We partake in the death and the resurrection of Christ in symbol through baptism, and that we too can walk in newness of life now, partaking in the body of Christ that we have before us. Likewise also, as an ecclesia, we're to be one body working together. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 and to 16 says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking in truth the love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So here too, again, working together as one body with Christ and pressing on as a group toward that high and that holy calling. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." We are to be that one body. And through the partaking of his broken bread, we have become part of that body of Christ. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 28 for an interesting connection. Isaiah 28 and verse 28 says, "Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever, because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer." The first part of that verse says, grain for bread is crushed. It's interesting that that word crushed means to grind to powder. We turn over to Daniel chapter 2. We all know the story of the image. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34 says, "You continue looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed it. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. The stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So the word crushed here is the same word as in Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah 28, the grain is crushed, but not completely, only till the chaff is removed, and then it is stopped so as not to damage the grain. Whereas in Daniel chapter 2, the stone grinds the image to chaff and keeps crushing till all the chaff is blown away. In both cases, though, the grain goes through judgment. One produces fruit, and the other is an empty shell and is blown away. So then, to make bread, there has to be trials. You have to sow the seed, you work the land. You then nurture it, and it becomes ripe. It is harvested, and the trials of life begin for us. The grain is threshed and crushed to separate the grain from the chaff. It is then made into a loaf and baked in the oven by fire. all situations of judgment. And then we take the loaf and break it, give thanks and partake of it, as we will in a few moments here this morning. And then we read in John chapter 6. Thinking of the trials that the loaf has to go through to be made. We read John chapter 6 and verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. This was the process of trial that our Lord Jesus suffered to provide for us that bread of life, that whosoever partakes of shall have eternal life. So this bread then that we see on the table before us this morning represents Christ's body, as we know. It represents a life given wholly to his Father, a life producing fruits of righteousness, crushed and threshed to show God's will and not his own, and then tried by fire to come forth pure gold, a spotless and a blameless perfect sacrifice. We have this bread, a symbol of Christ's broken body, that we have that opportunity of life. We'll now turn and look at the wine. Christ poured out blood before us. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 26 and we'll read those verses again. Matthew chapter 26 and at verse 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So Christ, through the pouring out of his blood, pouring out of his will, gives us that opportunity of life to come. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, therefore remember that formerly you the Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the same time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So this is how we tie in, as we know, us the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, now through Christ have that opportunity as the Jews for that life to come. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 says, but God demonstrates his love towards you in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we have been saved from the wrath of God through him. So we see that it is through that shed blood in perfect obedience that Christ provides that covering, that we have that opportunity. We think back to Genesis with the sin of Adam and Eve and how they tried to create their own covering, and it was only through the shedding of blood that they were covered from their sin. The children of Israel also had to sacrifice perfect, spotless, blameless animals, symbolizing that the shedding of that animal's innocent blood should have been your own blood, but that God, through his mercy, had provided for them a way of salvation. Everything about the law was to point forward to their Savior to come. The law in and of itself showed that they could not make it to the kingdom on their own accord, that they were mortal, failing creatures, and so also ourselves. We can't get to the kingdom, but it is only through Christ's redemptive blood, his broken body, that we now have that opportunity. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." As a lamb unblemished and spotless, Christ becomes that perfect sacrifice given in willing, perfect obedience. So also then that wine that we have on the table before us this morning has been through the same type of process of trial, just like the bread has. The vine is planted and nurtured till the grapes become ripe. They are harvested and then trodden in the wine press and then left for a time to ferment and then poured out, as we see this morning, to represent a life lived in perfect obedience to his God, a will poured out and his blood spilt, because it is his Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 that we read earlier says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" We have before us this morning the focal point of our weeks. We've been commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ to do this in remembrance of me, to take this physical bread and wine that we have here, to partake of it, but also to partake of all of the things that the bread and the wine represent, to work as that one body of Christ with Christ as the head until our Lord does return, which we all hope is very soon. So lastly, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 26. Not only are we partaking of this physical bread and wine, but also of the spiritual and all of the things which it includes. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Reading from Revelation 22 and verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, 'Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.'"